Welcome to the Leading Visionaries Podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established leading visionaries. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate and spotlight the leading visionaries who are thinking differently, seeing new possibilities, have the courage to dream big, take inspired action, and create conscious change all around the world. Now, here's your host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Leading Visionaries Podcast, where we celebrate the ingenious, insightful, innovative, and inspired leading visionaries of our time and provide our listeners with world-class examples of the kind of courage, clarity, and confidence it takes to bring visions into reality. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Victoria Pelletier. Victoria is a 20-plus year corporate executive, board director, number one best-selling author, and professional public speaker. Nicknamed the Turnaround Queen and the CEO Whisperer by former colleagues and employers, Victoria inspires and empowers her team and clients to change mindsets and drive growth in business, leadership, and culture. As someone who does not subscribe to the status quo, she is always ready for new challenges, becoming one of the youngest chief operating officers at the age of 24, president by 35, and a CEO at age 41. She was recognized as one of the 100 global outstanding LGBTQ executive role models by Involve, a 2023 Woman of Influence by South Florida Business Journal, a semifinalist in the 2023 50-50 Women on Boards Women to Watch, 2022 Top 30 Most Influential Business Leaders in Tech by CEO Outlook, and a variety of other amazing distinctions. As a prolific motivational and inspirational speaker, Victoria has delivered keynotes discussing the significance of whole human leadership, being an empathetic and authentic leader, as well as the importance of personal branding and its impact on professional growth. I am so excited to have you here today. Welcome, Victoria.
Thanks for having me, Angel. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I want to begin our time together, Victoria, by asking you, have you always been a leader? Were you the little kid on the playground that was organizing everybody and getting them all to team up to make something happen? Or is your leadership something that has evolved and emerged over time?
I'd say I've always been a leader. And I think that comes from maturity quickly. I'm an only child. I was used to being around predominantly adults, even down to the fact that I hit my height. I'm 5'8" by the time I was 11 years old. So it sort of seemed like naturally that was me as a leader. What I will say though, is there's been a significant evolution in my leadership journey and how I lead. I think I made mistakes due to some lived experience early in my youth that had me show up a certain way as a leader that wasn't probably innately who I was. And so I had to change over time to the kind of leader that I now am.
Beautiful. Well, I hit my height 5'7.5" by 11" as well. So I'm right there with you, woman. And so let's talk about this idea of how you had made mistakes in leadership, because a lot of times leaders want to show up as kind of like have this perfection projection going on. And so it's really refreshing and wonderful to hear that you have the self-awareness of having made mistakes. What are some of the mistakes that you can look back now and point out to yourself and maybe to our listeners?
The biggest failure I had as a leader, the one I had to overcome, you said in my bio, and I'm sorry it was so long, but was around whole human leadership. The mistake I made was being afraid to show up authentically, vulnerably, for a host of reasons. One, I had a fairly traumatic youth, and I didn't want to ever feel and let anyone see vulnerability. I built walls around myself. And so when I became an executive at age 24, a new mother, the only woman 20 years younger, at least than my peers, I felt also like I needed to demonstrate to everyone that not only, you know, had I earned the seat at the table, but there was no reason to ever question me. And so that was my biggest mistake. I would never, ever show emotion. I was very good, strong work ethic, delivered exceptionally for, you know, the employers that I worked for. But I found out I had a nickname as the Iron Maiden. that for me was like a slap in the face. That, and coupled with like a colleague who like sort of looked at me one Monday morning when we talked about our weekends, and I said I'd cried at some movie, and she was like incredulous, thinking, and she said to me, "Vic, I thought you would be the type of person who'd laugh at people who cry at movies." And that's when I knew, Angel, I was just showing up very, like, my nickname's actually, my best friend has given me the nickname, the turtle, because I'm very tough exterior, you know, very resilient, but I'm still really soft and mushy on the inside. And so that's where I needed to shift. I needed to recognize that just because I'm a woman, I could bring emotions to the table, that I could be authentic. I could share the lived experiences that I'd had. I could talk through how painful it was to make some of the tough business decisions and not just be no longer be feared, but be followed, because I'd built some trust by being really authentic and being vulnerable with my colleagues.
I love this idea of no longer feared, but followed. And, you know, I think, Victoria, that many women, and certainly in my cohort for sure, and, you know, potentially as well still in your cohort, we came through an era of becoming highly masculinized in order to even get our foot in the door initially. And then there was another cohort of women that, you know, we had opened the doors and then they were able to come in and take their place at the table. But the role models of the women who were taking their place at the table was the bitch in heels, right? I used to wear my red suit because I knew if I wore my red suit, then I was invaluable, you know what I mean, in my early career as well. So I'd love to talk now about the process. Like, it starts with awareness, right? You had awareness, but what was the process that you had to go through, or that you took yourself through, or that you invested in to get help maybe, to dismantle some of this conditioning in order to be able to show up in a different way and become a leader who is not feared, but instead followed?
As you said, I think one of the most critical factors is self-awareness and the ability to reflect on what are my triggers? Why am I showing up the way I am showing up? When I'm quick to emotion, why? What's the trigger? What's the root cause behind that? That is foundational for me. And for anyone, I would say is that self-awareness and self-reflection. The next part was then modeling the thoughts, the actions, and the behavior, many of which made me really uncomfortable. It was not comfortable for me to share emotions, but I do strongly believe that without leaning into our discomfort, the growth is not going to come. And so for me, initially it was small steps. I also knew that I was all business all the time. And so when I walked into a meeting and I walked into the room, I had to consciously say, "Vic, you're not going to launch right into the agenda. We're going to spend the first 5 minutes just chit-chatting, small talk," which also wasn't innate for me 20-something years ago. It now very much is. I talked to strangers in the elevator, but it wasn't then. And so I needed to, with intention, do those small things. And so from, you know, taking that first 5 minutes to, in a one-on-one conversation, being open enough to share something that created some vulnerability or shared this personal element of myself so they saw me as a real person and not just their boss, for example. And once I continued to do that time and time again, it became much easier to do it with the really more significant things. But it was, I have a phrase that I use a lot, strategic intentionality. And so I needed to be strategic in terms of when I would choose to do that, but to do it with intention and to do it consistently until, again, it became much more natural.
Beautiful. So for our listeners who are maybe in that place where they're ready to make a transformation, where just listening to what you're saying here is going to give them some awareness, what do you think is, in addition to the strategic intention setting, what are some of the other ways that they can support themselves to just allow more emotion, to allow more softness, to allow more vulnerability? Because I think there's still, it's way better than it used to be. Let's be clear about that. But there's still this conditioned belief that if you show emotion, you're weak, especially if you're a woman. It's almost like now men showing emotion is exciting. It's like, oh my God, a man is showing emotion. And so we are open for that and willing to receive that. But from a woman, it can often be like, oh, she's just, you know, being emotional. So can you talk, especially to our women listeners, about how they can feel safe, maybe feel safe expressing themselves emotionally in the workplace, in their leadership role?
The first thing I'd say, and for both the male and female listeners, is to recognize that you can still have a very successful business measured in the traditional business metrics, sales or revenue, you know, profitability within the organization, by leading in this very different way. In fact, I think this kind of what I refer to as whole human leadership actually drives stronger business results. So I think we need to get that, you know, in our mindset, that it's not one or the other. Both drives better business results and business, and also that I want us to start to look at different metrics, and those include the people metrics as well as part of how we measure our success in business. So that would be number one. And then two is, I want people to be authentic. So, I mean, if you're not naturally a super emotional person, I'm not asking people to step completely outside of themselves in doing that. It is just about being authentically who you are. And so for me, I actually do present in a very much more traditionally masculine way. You know, I think because I hit my height so young, I've got this like weird, you know, super big complex, and I feel like I'm bigger than I am. I'm really confident owning the room. I was an actor in my youth as well. So the ability to stand on stage and, you know, communication, a lot of times confidence is seen as competence. And so I'm viewed a certain way. And so for me, but I'm actually also that really, you know, soft, mushy. So for me, authentic meant bringing both of those to the table. And so for the female listeners specifically, some tend to skew to the less masculine way I present, and that's okay. But then there's intentionality over when you do that and how you show up, you know, it, in the right times, in the right moments. But for me, it's always about building trust and connection with people and figuring out what that right balance is. So, you know, when I think of at one point I was having a really tough kind of performance conversation with a male employee of mine who I think had probably a significant amount of insecurity. And so he presented in a very particular way and needed to make sure that everyone else knew that he was the executive and my way is the, and so me sitting down one-on-one with him, something I wouldn't have done in my Iron Maiden days that I now do in the way I lead now was to say to him, like, here's my lived experience. I came from this Iron Maiden and I know where it came from. I'm getting feedback about you. I'm not sure where yours comes from, but sharing that kind of thing. So that's where I'd say, like, for female listeners, I feel like that kind of conversation engages in a very different way. And so to lean in and be comfortable with that. But at the end of the day, it's around authenticity, around who you are as that whole person and how you're going to show up and bring, you know, all of those elements of yourself to each conversation in the right context, mind you.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about whole human leadership, and we're going to talk more about vision as well, Victoria. But right now, listeners, are you a leading visionary or in the role of leading other visionaries? Consider joining our community and sharing your feedback and takeaways from each episode. We invite you to join us and support this podcast by making a donation at leadingvisionariespodcast.com. If you're interested in finding out more about how you can receive support for getting your vision out of the air and onto the ground, then please do apply to qualify for a complimentary consultation with me or a member of my team by clicking on the Connect with Angel button on the website. Be sure to share this show in your own spirals of influence with the people who you think might benefit from our content. I want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. I just did another check and we are now downloading in 26 countries. We're welcoming thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in the Netherlands, Bangladesh, and we might as well shout out to our listeners in Miami Beach. And we will be right back with Victoria Peltier.
The Leading Visionaries podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Are you the one who thinks differently, who is called to create a significant conscious change in the world, who is seeing and dreaming of a better way for your industry, your community, humanity? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to guide leading visionaries just like you who want to break through the static in order to clearly express and confidently enroll support for their vision in a way that makes it inevitable that it will come to pass. Your word is your wand, and as the leader, your ability to articulate and communicate your vision is essential to its materialization and monetization. Please enjoy with our compliments a free copy of the book, Be Heard by Millions and Live Your Destiny, which was a number one new release in three categories to get you started. The book is yours by visiting gift.leadingvisionariespodcast.com.
And we are back with Victoria Peltier. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how confidence conveys competence and the intentionality that she uses to create trust and connection. You can find out more about Victoria, maybe book her to speak or hire her at victoria-peltier.com. We will have that for you in the show notes. And so, Victoria, I'd love to have you tell our listeners what they're going to find when they get to victoria-peltier.com.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's my webpage for everything to do with the thought leadership. I publish a ton of content. I've got my speaker reel so people can see me in action, so to speak. And also I have a couple of books, one that I wrote a number of years ago that's on there and two that are upcoming in 2024. They can find that on the website as well.
Beautiful. All right. So before we went to the break, we were talking about strategy and intention. Now I want to talk about vision. So Victoria, when you were, you know, coming up in your leadership, what role did vision play for you in your success, in your ability to be so seen as a leader so young?
It's changed over time, Angel. You know, the vision I had in my 20s versus what I have today are very different. I viewed success through a lens of being better than my biology or circumstance. So I'm born to a drug addicted teenage mother who was very abusive to me. I was adopted out of that situation into a home, lower socioeconomic status, mama, secretary, dad, a janitor, no vacations, all those things. So that informed my vision for what I wanted was to be better than where I came from. And for me, that meant, you know, a bigger title, higher up in that hierarchy and greater compensation. That's what I viewed success as. And so my vision was achieving more and more in that capacity. And then when I started to realize what was really important to me, and I leaned into the things that bring me personal and professional joy, I started saying no to those that didn't, delegated and outsourced the rest. And then what brought me joy, I realized what had a lot to do with leadership and how I could coach and advance other people's career. And then also knowing that I'd overcome a significant adversity, how could I use that to help others recognize what they can overcome? And so my vision for the future now, I actually tie it back to really thinking about legacy and impact, is about how I can impact every organization and workplace culture I'm in, the community that I live in, but honestly, even down to the individual person. So that's how I've reset a vision of what success looks like for me from where I came from to the way I think about it today.
Yeah, beautiful. So I love this idea of saying no and or outsourcing or delegating. I think that's one of the things that many leading visionaries, you know, we can often have a big vision. You know, in your case, your vision is for impact at a variety of different levels. Some people can have a very specific vision for creating something that's never even been in the world before. And a lot of times get caught up in the weeds of doing the things that are not really their genius. So I'd love to have you share your whole human leadership work here and how you help the leaders that you influence to be able to do the same thing, to say no and to start to delegate so that they can actually be in their joy.
Yeah, it's hard, I think, for many people. I'm an A-type personality. Mm-hmm. I know, shocking for your listeners. They probably wouldn't figure that out within the first 2 minutes. So wanting to do it all. So this one's really difficult. So I spend a lot of time talking to, in particular, entrepreneurs, but like lean into the things that are your superpower. Like, what are the things you're great at? And it's tough when you're starting out because I mean, you can't afford necessarily to pay everyone to do that. There's great strategies though. So I spend my time both with a combination of like entrepreneurs and then the big sort of Fortune 500 company leaders, which is where I've spent a lot of my career, and slightly different in terms of how they can achieve some of that success. But to figure out what are you great at, a little bit of that Ikigai, and if you're familiar with that philosophy, Japanese, you know, philosophy around what are you good at? What do you enjoy? What can you get paid for? Those kinds of things around figuring that component out. And then also leaning into the confidence to say no. That's hard. Many of us, we want to be liked, and saying no to people, we're worried about what are they going to think about me? How's that going to reflect on me? Are they going to like me as a result of that? Are they going to see me as difficult? So I spent a lot of time working through that with others. And the other dimension of this whole human leadership, beyond some of the pieces we've spoken around vulnerability and authenticity, for me is also this do the right thing. And so that's constantly an anchor for me in business around how do we solve for, and I'm a capitalist, don't get me wrong. Like, so I want to, you know, make money and be successful for the shareholders, but just doing that in a very different way. And sometimes that comes with making some very different business trade-offs, but always with that lens on doing the right thing. It's Simon Sinek, you know, his infinite game, you know, you don't win at life. You don't win at business. Yes, you win contracts. And so trying to get people to think a little bit more in that perspective in terms of not only how they lead, the decisions they make in business, but some of these decisions around joy and the action or tasks that we're going to maintain ourselves.
Beautiful. Well, when I hear you say, initially, when I heard you say, do the right thing, what I heard there was it's less about do the right thing that you think the outside world wants you to be doing, and more about doing the thing that is actually your right role, the right thing for you to be doing. And yes, of course, there's also this more external moral type thing of doing the right, the correct thing. But what I heard there was really it starts with the leader themselves being self-aware enough that they're not putting themselves, they're not a square peg putting them, trying to put themselves into a round hole or vice versa. All right. Well, we only have a few minutes left, Victoria. So in the last few minutes, what I'd love to talk about here is team. I really think it's important to talk about team in terms of how we interact with people. One of the things that I said a few years ago was people are not hamburgers, right? And so in a lot of these larger organizations, or even in small entrepreneurial organizations, it's almost like we have this idea that everything has to be systematized, like a hamburger in the assembly line. People are not hamburgers. So what are some of the things that you would like to share with our listeners about how to cultivate connection with the people that are all working together?
Well, the one thing I would say around the hamburger first, before I talk about connection, is I think there's been a dramatic shift, and I'm glad it has, towards looking at how we build teams around skill versus the job title, the fact that we need a 4-year college degree, that kind of thing. So getting really clear around the skills that are required to deliver both. I don't like calling them soft skills, but with so much technology and automation, what gets left behind are the human skills, the people skills, and managing exceptions. So identify what those skills are as you're building a team. And then I'm a massive advocate around diverse, inclusive organizations and workforces and building a strong sense of belonging. And so in doing so, and this is where the connection comes in, I want us to find people with all those skills with very diverse backgrounds and experiences, from lived experiences to not just the traditional ways we think about diversity of gender and race and ethnicity, sexuality, those kinds of things, lived experience, neurodiversity, you know, all of those kinds of things, and bringing them together. But the really important piece around that connection is, do they feel a sense of belonging? And this goes back to being, can they show up as their whole selves? Can they be authentic? Can they be vulnerable and share some of their difficult lived experiences and what may cause them to react in a certain way? Do they feel safe in that environment? And that, I think, is, again, go back to whole human leader. We need to create that environment for a team. And that ultimately we build connection when there's that great sense of safety and trust with one another.
Beautiful. All right. Well, in the last couple of minutes that we have, Victoria, I'd love to hear maybe some success stories from people that you've worked with or companies that you've worked with that you'd like to celebrate.
I've many, as I said, you know, my vision and the way I measure impact or success now is much more around how can I help individuals. And I think, you know, for me, there was one a number of years ago where I recently moved back to the US from Canada, where I'm originally from, and for a role with a company. And I met my team in person. And there was one individual, sometimes you just meet people and you know. And I just knew he was a great human. There was something about him. He managed a team of 100% women who came to me and said, I just want you to know like how great he is at supporting our career. He was a Black man, fairly new in our company. And his vision was to make the executive ranks. And I was determined he would earn it, but I'm going to do everything possible. My power, the platform I have as a more senior executive in that organization, to ensure his success. And so I put him in front of all of the right people. He ended up doing reverse mentorship for some of our senior leaders, sadly, after sort of George Floyd and a lot of the social activities that, you know, here in the US, and had him share his lived experiences. And I ended up leaving that company just before he was making the like executive promotion, but recorded a video because I couldn't sit at the table to be that advocate for him, just to talk about all the greatness and what his team, how they spoke about him. And so I was so excited when I, you know, heard 2 months later after this whole sort of, you know, process, executive promotion process, that he'd been successful. And that was, again, leveraging the power and platform I have, but also recognizing, you know, this diverse talent who was just a wonderful human who delivered exceptional results and was really committed to helping others, for him to ultimately be successful.
I love the ripple effect. We love the ripple effect, Victoria. All right, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Listeners, we do love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show by joining our community, sharing your takeaways, asking questions, and submitting guest suggestions. You can weave your visionary thread into our fabric by opting in at our website at leadingvisionaries.com or by interacting with us on social. Look for the handle at Leading Visionaries Podcast on all the major platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep your eyes, ears, and hearts open. And remember, you are here to create conscious change.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Leading Visionaries on Apple Podcasts and share with other people you know who can benefit from today's episode. Leading Visionaries is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leading visionaries who are called to create conscious change and know that now is the best time to welcome wealth and cultivate a web of collaborative support to bring their vision to life. We invite your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of new episodes at leadingvisionariespodcast.com.